Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, Team Trunkers. It's Pete Donaldson here and Luke Moore for the Luke and Pete Show, and it is a Monday. We are recording this on Monday. It's going to be released very soon. So what's on the menu for today? What's today's specials?
You've put on the spot there, Peter, right. But good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone listening along.
In this morning's news, what's on the agenda for the Sandringham Summit? It's Queen versus Ginger-haired man and dark-haired girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should, as people on Twitter have been saying, He should just get a DNA test if he wants up the family.
Oh, harsh, that is harsh. Rudy.
No, I've got sympathy for them. I have sympathy for them. As a man with an American wife whose family have been horrific to her over the years. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's a mad story, that one.
It is a mad story.
From the outside looking in, it looks to me that people who get really particular and are really into the royal family are now have kind of flipped their opinion on it.
Well, in that they have been taken in by an orchestrated...
And then you've got other people
racist attack by most of the tabloids.
And you've got other people who profess to not care about the royal family.
Now they really
care. And now they're really into it, yeah.
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very strange. Yusaku Maezawa, he's a Japanese billionaire, and he wants a life partner for a moon voyage he's paid for.
That's you, surely.
He's the fashion mogul, 44, he's big licks in Japan. He's set to be the first civilian passenger to fly around the moon on the Starship rocket, SpaceX.
Elon Musk's?
And he wants a female. I think SpaceX.
I wouldn't be doing Elon Musk.
I wouldn't be trusting him.
Not after his public performances recently.
His little boogie dance.
No way am I doing that.
He loves a weed cigarette, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. You've seen him on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Smoking a fat dude.
Biftering it. Well, I was on that last night, Luke. I want to inform you that I've turned to the dark side and now I am a drug addict.
Yeah.
A friend gave me a vape that was illegally imported from California, like a little all-in-one vape that was breath activated when you suck in like that. The weed comes out and not people talk about weed like it's the most creative drug. I wrote one thing when I was off my head last night. Marine Kong Karate.
Right.
I was imagining, I think, some kind of King Kong character dressed as a karate master at the docks. So
yeah,
that's the limits of my 1960s era sort of Beatles journey.
It's like 1998 all over again, Pete. Well, I think when it comes to the creativity, I think the idea is you've got to have the creativity there in the first place. And
yeah,
then the heroin brings it out.
The heroin, not the heroin, for crying out loud. If anybody has got a heroin vape pen, I'd love to hear what the hell is going on. So yes, now I am a drug addict.
If you carry on with this, the best thing that's going to happen to any of us is you're going to end up as some kind of skinnier, worse Seth Rogen. That's what's going to happen.
I'll take it.
So is the weed vape pen something that you are able to keep? Are you going to be revisiting it?
Well, I can't really smoke, so it
or
goes
as I believe the teenagers say, are you going to continue to hit that
fat rip? No, I'm not going to be taking any more fat rips out of it because it's not good.
How's your asthma this morning?
Not great.
When I walked in earlier, you were huffing on an inhaler. So
look, I've got to have some
kind of weed pen, is it?
Oh dear, yeah, I was actually. Yes, it's not made my asthma any better. I give it the big licks. Oh, my dad smoked, so, and he's got asthma, so I think I can smoke. Yeah, I can't smoke. As soon as smoke hits my lungs, my body goes, get it out.
Does your dad still smoke now?
No, but he used to for a very long time.
Yeah,
and he has pretty bad asthma, probably because of it. But yeah, it's not ideal. Not ideal. So stay off the drugs, guys.
What else happened over the weekend, Pete?
Went to see Knives Out, same as you, mate. We both went to see Knives Out at different times. I think I saw Knives Out 2 hours before you. I could have given you a dirty old text, couldn't I? I could have given you the worst text.
It's a testament to how much our friendship has broken down over the years that I knew that you were going to see it, that I put it on the other step straight away. Because I knew, yeah, the thing is, I didn't think you would spoil me.
Right.
But I did think that you would do some kind of joke.
Right.
Which would be
annoying.
Yeah, looking like you were going to spoil me, then not spoiling me, which I would have found as annoying.
I was going to text you. But is the Mousetrap, the end of Mousetrap? I was going to just say it was that. I'm not going to.
Can I ask something about the Mousetrap? Have you seen the Mousetrap?
No, but I know who did it.
Well, no, but this is the question,
right?
So Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap, for those who don't know it, is the longest running play in the West End in London, and it's
about a board game.
It's a whodunit about a kind of people who get snowed in some hotel, and someone dies, and that's all you need to know. But my question was, I assumed that they did it so it was a different murderer every night. And they rotated it.
Oh, right.
And that's why it's so good, because that's why it keeps people guessing, because you go and see it one night and it's that person. Mm. You go back 6 months later, it'll be another person that's rewritten.
Right. No, I think it's...
Is that not the case?
Always been the chap in question. Or
in which case, have I just had the best idea for a theatre production ever?
Surely they've done that before, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have to be bloody good for you to come back every time to see who kills someone.
But it would be possible, because they've got certain defined and a limited amount of characters in that play. Mm. They could just do rewrites.
Yeah, but you get well confused.
And when you turn up today, when you turn up at that day, they go, right, we're doing this one tonight, so crack on.
I'd get really confused and do the wrong speech.
You're the murderer
God
tonight.
Damn it.
Yeah, and they end up about three murderers in every single one. But yeah, Knives Out was good. And I found one thing I found odd about it, again, this is a spoiler-free zone, so because the film is still in cinemas, Rian Johnson directed it, and he, in your cinema showing, was there a little interview with him at the start saying, don't give any secrets away?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I found that odd.
Why?
Because I felt like it took me out of it.
It was right at the start of the
film.
Yeah,
it was, but I felt like I don't need you to tell me that. Is that how we've descended
people
now?
Are fucking idiots, aren't they? People will tweet any old nonsense, won't they?
Yeah, I saw
Mark
Kermode was on Twitter literally yesterday saying, by the way, stop complaining to me about spoilers. I mean, I'm a film reviewer. If you don't want to know something about a film, don't read the film review. I'm giving you a plot outline because that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
Well, why would you read a film review before you've seen something and go, oh, no, you spoiled it for me?
But I mean, bearing in mind, trailers just spoil everything about the film anyway. All of the visual bits are laid bare before you even go into the cinema.
Yeah.
I really want to see that. Oh, it's a Korean film. Infected or something. I'm hearing good things about something that sounds a bit like Infected, but I can't remember what it is. Yes.
And another film I've seen, Pete Donaldson, is I saw it yesterday, Little Women.
All right, yeah.
That's very, very good.
Is
very
it like,
good.
Exceptionally
good.
Is it about some actual Little Women, or is it based on the book?
Yeah, it's both.
Like Little Women, as in
tiny
women.
Yeah, they're tiny, yeah.
Like Honey, I Shrunk the Women.
Exactly. Right. It's exactly like that. So imagine Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
But set during the US Civil War.
Yes.
And they're very tiny, and they've got tiny little clothes and tiny little jobs.
Mm.
And there's a massive dog. But it's just a normal sized dog, but to them it's massive.
Yeah, do they all climb
on it? Terrorizes them.
Oh, right.
And they all want to go, and their husbands all want to go and fight in the US Civil War, but they can't because they're all tiny.
Like,
you're not going to be any, and there's a big booming general who says, you're not going to be effective because your guns, they look like normal size to you, but they're just like pea shooters normal size people.
They could climb up the soldiers and get their carotid arteries with their little guns, couldn't they? So,
yeah, that's what they do. They end up going on like a secret agent mission, and they climb up the trouser leg of all the normal size soldiers. And nip their ephemeral, what's it called? The femoral artery in the thigh.
In the thigh, yeah.
And
bleed to death.
End up being responsible for a few murders. So it was good. I mean, it was good. It wasn't what I expected. I would recommend that. Shout out to Jet Set Michelle on Twitter, who discovered a new battery brand this week. Kiho, Kiho. A new player has officially entered the game.
Yeah.
It's at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter, our our handle. And I am very, very kind of perturbed to announce to you, Pete Donaldson, that there's been a spate of satanic... I shouldn't laugh. There's been a spate of satanic sheep killings in the New Forest.
How satanic? Is it just a wolf?
A sheep has been found impaled on a... Well, is it, if it is a wolf, then I'll let you make your own mind up. A sheep has been found impaled on a pitchfork alongside an upside-down cross made of hay.
Right.
In the latest animal killing to feature occult imagery in the New Forest.
Just kids. It's just kids being awful.
Kids can be Satanists.
Kids can be Satanists too.
Someone's spray painted a star, like a satanic star, on the sheep's fur. Look at it.
What? Oh, a pentagram.
Local man
put
said
a pentagram on it.
A local man said it gives me the creeps. He doesn't think of anything else to say.
What do you mean that gives me the creeps?
Yeah, there's a vicar. They found the local vicar. The thing about this is it's great local journalism. They found the local vicar. And he said, people are concerned. I've been here 15 years and I've seen a lot of stuff. Have you?
in the New Forest.
Yeah. But nothing like this. It could just be kids, but I don't think it is given the context. There's been witchcraft around here for hundreds of years. The New Forest is well known for witchcraft and black magic, and this has obviously gone up a level. Could it be your mate, Joe Scribbles?
What do you mean? Oh, what? He's out on the lam, literally.
Yeah.
On the loose. Is he trying to get some kind of cheap heat for a forthcoming podcast
series? Yeah. I mean, why would you? I mean, it's not something I used to do when I was a kid, but I mean,
murder animals?
Is it something to be worried about? Because these people normally go along. We've all seen, presumably, that Don't Fuck With Cats thing on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know what it's about. And if people start killing animals, it's a bad sign, isn't it? It's like wetting the bed and starting fires.
Well, it's not very.
The three things they look out for kids. Wet in the bed, starting fires all the time.
Come on, we've all wet the bed and none of us have gone on to murder anyone.
I don't think it means wet in the bed after like 15 pints, Pete.
All right.
And a little suck on your little weed treat.
On my little lollipop. Sweet Mary Jane. On my Sweet Mary Robot Jane.
But I think they're the things that people look out for. My friend, who shall remain nameless,
right,
did a exchange to, I want to say Germany, and student exchange. And set the family's house on fire.
Why was that?
He was deliberately mucking around with a lighter in a deodorant can.
How did he manage to do? How can you just stop that immediately? Like, you know what you've done.
I don't know, but I think in my mind, and I've got no basis for this, but in my mind, he was staying in one of those like Swiss chalets that were made of wood.
Yeah,
yeah, just went up.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Do you want a quick clip from Family Feud Canada?
I've heard about this. I want to hear this.
Very much enjoyed this week. It's Family Fortunes, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
The American version. So the question is...
One question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Oh, dear.
It's a little dance she does that I quite enjoy.
She's got confused with Popeye's chicken, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Spinach, Jerry.
Spinach!
The Tomlinson Waterloo have taken it, Ontario.
$10,000 Canadian up for grabs. How much is that in pounds?
I don't actually know. I reckon it's about £8,000.
It's £5,895.
That's not great, is it?
Time of recording. It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
The thing is, normally, I mean, Mimi was watching an amazing TV show yesterday. And I mean, I say amazing, I mean like baffling. I can't even remember what it was called.
Right.
But I think, oh yeah, this is the thing, right? So, I think, let me just double check what it was called. I think it might have been called, it's called Forged in Fire, right? It's a reality show. And it's about people who are bladesmiths and blacksmiths. And it's a competition show. And they have to make the best knife or whatever, a weapon. Right. And I was watching it with Mimi yesterday. She said, I really want to see this for ages, and I never got around to watching it. And because she's a nerd for that kind of stuff. And as she started watching it, do you know what I realised it was?
What?
It's the show from Dads with Swords.
What?
So they test the weapons at the end of each episode.
Yeah.
And it's that thing you made, that video you made, Dads with Swords.
Right.
That's where you've taken the footage from.
Oh, what? They're just... No, I thought it was just like an advert for a particular knife shop where it's just a lot of blokes in the...
Well, it's very similar because at the end of Forged in Fire, the one I saw last night, they were making Bowie knives and they had two tests, the antler test and the beef rib test.
Right,
And they had to smash the antler. I didn't know this, but apparently antler is very, very good for testing the veracity or the strength of a blade.
Why?
Because it's so well knitted together and it's a mineral, so it's essentially a bit like a rock.
A bit like a rock, but you can cut it.
Yeah, and this guy was smashing blades into an antler and one of the blades broke.
Right.
But one of them kind of did it and it was good. And then they had a big carcass.
Yeah.
And they were slashing through it.
I just always think with those, like, they chop up the meat and the meat just falls on the floor.
Yeah, it's a waste.
You tell them, yeah, it's just a waste. I mean, get that on the barbecue. Delicious.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe they should do it directly above a barbecue. So it instantly starts to sizzle on the barbecue.
Exactly.
It's done, yeah.
Disgraceful.
All right, let's have a little break, Peter, and then when we come back, we'll do some emails.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
That's nice.
Enjoy that.
Is that your remix of the Human League remix?
Yeah. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. Working in a cocktail bar. Just
nice.
Enjoyable.
Very
just
enjoyable.
Just enjoyable.
Got any emails there, Donny? Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the place to email in.
Yeah.
I've got a few collected here, but you're welcome to go first if you want.
Robin Stacey's come in with an idea for the 200th episode special.
Nice.
And the running order that might take place. Not that we even have a running order. Live from Stubbington Study Centre. All attendees to bring their remote control batteries for a best name battery competition. My batteries are King Kong's, for example, Robin. Thank you for that. On arrival, canapes of sliced long eggs, space food, and a little bit of the bubbly.
Nice.
Segment, Tinkering with Pete, sponsored by Maplin. Pete opens up his power PC and replaces component after component using plenty of thermal paste. Attempt to set a new It's Been world record. We haven't done that for a while. Guinness World Record adjudicate to be present to ensure it's not actually spin it, being said. Yeah. Special guest is Julian Assange. He eats a succulent Chinese meal on stage while talking about his time in the Ecuadorian embassy. And then a talk, a TED talk, if you will, from Pilot Neil on the legality of carrying cocaine in the cockpit of an aircraft. And then a bit of Mencarta if you've got time.
It's the greatest hits. It's the greatest hits, Pete.
Actually, that makes that show sound good.
I don't reckon Maplin have got a marketing budget at the moment.
No.
So they would better get involved. We couldn't afford Pilot Neil because Pilot's BA get paid very well. Is it BA? I can't remember.
I think he is, yeah. I mean, somebody will own the name, surely, Maplin's, won't they? It'll belong to some receiver or someone.
Oh, so yeah.
You can buy it really cheap and just stick it on.
What would be the point of them giving us money to promote something that doesn't actually exist anymore?
Well, to sell a name, I guess, again. Yeah. To get the market interested in the name, Maplin's.
What do you reckon Julian Assange is doing right now?
I don't know, probably looking out of his window having a coffee, reading the papers. Where is he?
He's done a lot of that over the last few years, right? I reckon he's probably out for a walk.
Maybe walking his dog. Yeah. But yeah, Robin does finish his email by saying, O-Town will perform their hit single, Liquid Dreams. This must be properly policed. It must turn into an all-night rave.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There's another one in that vein here from John Rendell. He says, gents, I note based on your current podcast numbering convention that episode 200 is scheduled for Monday the 2nd of March. Mm. This gives you A, a bit of prep time for something special, or B, ample opportunity to move to 3 decimal places and procrastinate further. I think we all know where this is going. Love your work with best wishes, John. Yeah, we haven't really, I mean, it's kind of been lost because maybe either because we are two men who society has forgotten about, and rightly so, or because we're way ahead of our time, and I'll let you make your mind up about which one of those it is. We kind of try to subvert the whole naming convention, numbering convention thing, because it is essentially pointless.
Mm. And I don't know why we started it.
We've undermined it. Well, we started it because I wanted to do it, because I needed some kind of
control.
Order. Yeah, control partly. But order to your mad life, so to give us a better chance of success.
Right.
But yeah, I completely agree. It's entirely irrelevant now, and that's why we've kind of subverted it.
Yeah, I can't remember what number we're on now. So it's something ridiculous.
This is episode 199.87. I've got it written down just in case it comes up.
I think we might be running out. We'll have to go to half that again. We'll have to go into the next decimal point.
Well, like John says, move to 3 decimal places and procrastinate further. So it's possible. Yeah. It is possible.
Yeah. Ewan from Aberdeen. Hello, Luke. Hello, Pete. Long-time listener, first-time emailer on one of your recent shows. I was surprised when you got the origin of the term spam wrong. On the show, you mentioned that spam emails like spam the meat, because spam is a low-quality meat, just as spam is a low-quality email. However, the actual origin of the term spam is from a Monty Python sketch set in a cafe, and then he goes on to detail the famous spam sketch from Monty Python.
I don't know that.
Not spam, spam, spam.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't know how it relates to emails.
Spam! Spam, 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 spam.
I think just geek culture embraced Monty Python pretty heavily. Do you remember they had a really good video game on the Amiga back in the day?
Did
really
they?
Good stuff. Really strong.
My American family were surprised when I said to them that Monty Python isn't as part of the kind of modern discourse as it is in the US.
You're one of the very few comedy acts who broke America, isn't he? So
I don't ever remember it being on TV when we were kids.
It was in my house, but I don't know whether it's just because my dad liked it.
My parents liked it though. They talk about liking it all the time. We used to watch. I saw Life of Brian and Holy Grail at a very early age.
Yeah.
On like video, VHS video, but I don't remember it being like on repeat on TV. But then having said that,
I remember watching it.
There wasn't that much TV then, was there?
No, but I remember a couple of like retrospectives where they just got together like the strongest sketches or whatever. And I was really fond of one where where these two kind of like spivs run onto a tennis court. Anyone for tennis? And, oh, okay then, and they all start playing tennis, and every I think like they keep hitting the balls at each other, and they keep on like hitting each other's eyes and stuff, and their eyes just start, but like blood starts coming out of their eyes, and their arms fall off, and there's blood everywhere. It's disgusting. That's my favorite Monty Python sketch.
Did that appeal to the 8-year-old Pete Donaldson?
It did, because I used to draw this. I remember being reported to the head when I was in primary school for drawing two muscle men. I used to draw proper muscly guys.
I can imagine you were the kind of kid who used to spend a lot of time doodling and drawing quite problematic cartoons in the classroom.
There was a lot of claret splashing around. And I remember Mrs. Peverly had a really strange problem with me.
Tell us more about that.
She would just be obsessed with the fact that I used to draw rather graphic pictures of chainsaw
men,
sexy men getting their big muscle men getting their arms chopped off with a chainsaw and blood everywhere.
Did you used to do sexy cartoons as well?
I didn't do sexy cartoons. No,
no.
I stole some books once, and she thought it was indicative of problems at home, which obviously alerted my mum and dad.
What did the teacher say about your muscle men? Describe like an example kind of daubing.
Two muscle men, usually in their pants, just very muscular, six packs, nipples, excellent trunks, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is invariably attacking the other one with a big chainsaw. Heads are coming off, limbs are coming off. There's blood everywhere. And if Mrs. Peverly can't handle that, then she shouldn't get in. She didn't get involved, did she?
No. What was her complaint then? What was her kind of beef? I don't understand what her
problem
is.
It was just too violent.
I don't mind you drawing in class.
I don't mind you drawing in class.
Was it an art class?
No, it was just a normal class.
Right. How old would you have been at the time?
About 8. But she thought there was something going on at home because I was a troubled child with me stealing Charlie the Chocolate Factory books and drawing daubings.
What did your parents think? I mean, your dad was presumably in bed by the time All I used to do was tell stories that weren't true. Like I had a brother at another school. a brother at another school.
Are you that kid, were you? Right,
yeah. Girlfriend who went to another school, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I stopped that when I was about 25.
Mm.
But I mean, when I was a kid, I did that.
Lads in our school.
I remember my parents sitting me down and saying, "Now, first of all, we all think it's excellent that you've got such a vivid imagination.
Yep.
But stop being a little cunt."
You don't have a
brother. Caused me problems in the playground.
You don't have a brother who lives in the loft.
Yeah. Were you going to say something then about a kid at your school? I cut you off.
Yeah, no. He said he had a brother who lived in the loft.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think that's the plot of a Simpsons episode, isn't it? Where Bart
Yes, there's an evil Bart in the loft.
What about this from Andy? Hello to you, Andy, who says, listening to your latest episode about the dad who buried animals for his kids.
Hmm.
He actually listened to that episode. He messaged me. Thanks for calling me a cool and metal dad, he said. and then showed them the bones. It reminded me of my parents' recent behaviour. This is great, this email from Andy. He says, both my parents are scientists. My dad is a geneticist at Imperial College, and my mum is a biochemist for science research. And neither really have a hobby, but they've both recently retired and told me they've got into breeding moths.
Oh, no.
It turns out they're not breeding them in the traditional sense. They're importing, usually from South Africa via mum's old boss, exotic caterpillars, which they then put in a box with some leaves. Then they go into chrysalis hibernation to turn to moss, of course. Now's the interesting part, though. They're invasive species and so cannot be let loose. So what my parents do is put them in a large mesh box, think of a laundry basket, but slightly see-through, and let them flap around inside until they die. My parents then dry them out, frame them, and include the Latin name. Hilarity ensued when I got a series of texts upon landing from a long-haul flight that mum had texted a family WhatsApp group with a photo of a death's head moth, which is very beautiful, followed by a message that one had escaped in the night and started flapping around the bedroom. They had to get up and find it. I've no idea if they killed it. They probably did, Andy. And it probably ate through your dad's suit or something as well. but what a great hobby for parents to have.
It's a weird one, isn't it? A death's head hawk moth. I'm looking at one now. They are quite beautiful. I wouldn't mind that one. I mean, that would take a big old chunk out of your claws. It probably doesn't eat claws, that moth. Probably trees or something.
Does your dad have a hobby? Is he down the shed a lot? What does he do?
No, he's not been in the shed for a little while. I think I should set up a little bed in there. Just that could be my Christmas bed.
But I think with Andy, I think this is a situation where he comes across as a little bit kind of embarrassed by his parents being geeky.
Right.
But other people think this is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's a cool thing.
I mean, would they have to keep moth balls in all of their bits and bobs to keep the moths out, do you reckon?
Well, it looks to me like they've got a pretty slick, swept-up operation, and only very occasionally does one escape. So maybe they don't have to think about it too much. They've got the large mesh box to rely upon, haven't they?
The large mesh box.
There was a great episode of a David Attenborough documentary a while back. You know the one where you disrespectfully took the walrus chucking himself off the cliff?
Boing?
Yeah, that series.
Yeah.
With the mayfly.
Yeah.
But they wait for, I think it's 3 years to come to maturity from the riverbed up to the top of the river, and they fly out and they fly onto a tree, and then they kind of, I don't know what the terms are, but they evolve and they go and find a female mate. 3 years it takes them, and they're alive for 4 hours.
Yeah. It's like a cicada. Like
isn't that beautiful about the fragile?
They spend all of their weeks underneath the ground.
That's about 10 years though, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's that long, but they come up and try and find a mate, and they're dead within a couple of days. It's crazy.
The fragility of life, huh?
The loudness of cicadas.
Yeah. I've got one more email here we can squeeze in before we go, and it is from Sam, who says, "Hi chaps, after hearing the Inspector Gadget theme in the last episode, I have a little bit of trivia for you. Haim Saban, the mastermind behind the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, made his money originally as a musician and is one of the team who created the Inspector Gadget theme tune."
Oh.
Also, on the Gladiators thread, Wolf opened a petrol station in Coventry back in the 90s. Thanks and keep up the good work, Sam. Wolf opening a petrol station in Coventry. You don't need to give the decade there, do you?
No.
It's the most 90s thing that could ever happen. He probably had that. Yeah, probably had a can of that that soft drink that Jim Campbell always talks about. That Jim said the most 90s thing to ever happen was there was a can of soft drink released to run alongside an opening of a roller coaster at Alton Towers.
Yeah.
That's quite a 90s thing to happen.
I've told you, Nemesis, the blackcurrant licorice mashup.
Good, right?
In Hartlepool, love that stuff. I would drink a can. If anybody could find like a can from the 90s, I'd probably think about drinking it.
Why do you sort of intimate that it was only available in Hartlepool?
Because I didn't see it anywhere else. And
I've
been around, baby.
I don't reckon you left Hartlepool that much in the 90s.
It wasn't in Middlesbrough, it wasn't in Newcastle, it wasn't in Darlington, it wasn't in Billingham.
Would you regularly
wasn't
leave?
In Peterlee.
But would you regularly leave Hartlepool?
No, not massively. We didn't have a car.
Would you go to see him?
I've walked around to see him a couple of times, but I've never sort of, not really spent that much time there, to be honest.
People should get in touch. hello@lukeandpeter.com.
Have you ever been to see him?
If you've A, been to see him, and B, think of the most 90s thing that ever happened, tell us.
I'm just looking up Haim Saban, because remember Saban used to come up after every Power Rangers, used to say Saban.
Yeah, I pronounced it Saban, and I apologize if I got that wrong.
Well, I don't know. Haim Saban. Yes, he's an Israeli-American media proprietor, investor, musician, and producer of records, films, and television. He is the 232nd richest person in America. I thought the Power Rangers were like Japanese or something, because all of that was very sort of Mothra and kind of King Kong kind of style.
Yeah.
You know, like when everything used to go big and they used to have a fight.
I assumed it was as well.
Yeah.
But having said that, I feel like I missed the boat on Power Rangers. I was a little bit too old for
it.
Did you ever watch it?
A little bit, but it was all a bit polished for me. I was all a bit kind of like True Blue Americana that I didn't care for.
They always defeat the bad guy in the end.
That's
what you need when you're
end.
A kid. You need to know that good triumphs over evil.
I think one of them died recently. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I think you're right, because when you're an adult, you realise the world is fucked and literally on fire.
Yeah.
And on that note, we shall leave you here until Thursday. Thanks very much for tuning in. Appreciate your support. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. Send us an email. Tell us what you're up to. Follow us on Twitter. hello@lukeandpeter.com is the email. @lukeandpeter is the Twitter. And we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
It's all love, baby.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.